The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, Book 4, Paragraph 21. You ask how, if souls continue to exist, the atmosphere has room for them from time eternal. But how does the ground have room for the bodies of those who for so long an age are buried in it? The answer is that, as on earth, change and dissolution after a continuance for so long make room for other dead bodies, so in the atmosphere souls pass on and continue for so long, and then change and are poured out and are kindled, being assumed into the generative principle of universal nature, and so provide room for those which succeed to their place. This would be the answer, presuming that souls do continue. But we must consider not only the multitude of bodies that are thus buried, but also the number of animals eaten every day by ourselves and the rest of the animal creation. How large a number are devoured and, in a manner of speaking, buried in the bodies of those who feed upon them. And yet there is room to contain them because they are turned into blood, because they are changed into forms of air and heat. How shall we investigate the truth of this? By division into that which is material and that which is the cause of form, the formal. Okay, so I read this, tried to think about it on my own, suspected that it was not in the realm of Stoic ethics, but rather in the realm of Stoic metaphysics, which, as I've said before, I'm really not interested in. Then I decided to look at the commentary written by Farquhar Harrison, and he says, indeed, this is about Stoic metaphysics. He says this is a polemic against the atomists school, the people who held that everything is material, and this is Marcus Aurelius's response. It's obviously predicated on the notion of the soul being something which itself is material, which is sort of like a fiery substance. So not interested in this, and I was actually going to skip it, but then something was nagging in the back of my mind, like a leech, and saying, I feel like I've heard this notion before about the soul being like, the earth being like this this thing that devours bodies. And then I remembered there is an obscure pasuk in Mishle, chapter 30, pasuk 15, and this is this is what I call in my mind the wild and wacky part of Mishle. Chapter 30 in general has very strange allegories, not typical of the rest of Mishle in style or in ideas, And I'm not even going to quote the entire allegory, but the first half of 30:15 in Mishle says, the leech has two daughters that say, give me, give me. Now, he then goes on and says a lot more really weird stuff. Take a look at it if you're interested. But the Metzudas David explains that Shlomo HaMelech likened the pit of the grave to a leech because it greedily sucks all people into it, just as the leech sucks blood. So it depicts the earth as, or I guess the grave, but you know, it's talking about the earth as a place to bury bodies, that it just keeps on greedily taking in bodies. So I was thinking about this and decided to like explore that pasuk and see if we could get any ideas. Turns out very confusing, lots of opinions about what the pasuk is even talking about. And I did stumble across an idea from the Metzudas David that I wanted to share. And again, really, you have to take this in context with the entire rest of the allegory. But I do think that this idea stands on its own, or at least we got an insight from it when we were working on it. So what does it mean that the leech has two daughters that say, give me, give me? So Metzudas David says they are Gan Eden and Gehinnom, okay? Which we can loosely take as a reference to, an afterlife of reward and an afterlife that involves some form of punishment. We're not going to get into our metaphysics either of what Gan Eden and Gehinnom are. So just take it as like good afterlife and bad afterlife. Okay, so Matthias W. goes on. He says, Gan Eden says, give me tzaddikim, give me the righteous. And Gehinnom says, give me the rasha'im, give me the wicked. This is an allegory, as if to say the tzaddik shouldn't think that there isn't enough room in Gan Eden, nor should the rasha think that Gehinnom is already filled to the brim and there is no room for him. This is not so, for each one of them desires, meaning each Gan Eden and Gehinnom desires more people and has ample space, and each one will end up in his place. So so the question is, like, what kind of like hava amina is this? What kind of thought is it for the tzaddik to think that there's not enough room in Gan Eden for him because it's full, and for the rasha, for the wicked person, to think that there's not enough room in Gehinnom and it's full and therefore he's not going to go there? Like, what does that even mean? Like, why would a person think that, you know?
So the idea we came up with is that it's very easy when you're thinking about, let's start with Gehenna. Very easy when you're thinking about Gehenna, that, oh, that is for the really bad people. That's for the Hitlers and the Stalins of the world, and I may do things that are not good, but I'm not a Russia. I'm not wicked. I'm not going to Gehenna, and therefore you just assume that it's filled with these really evil people, and therefore it's not for me. That's not a place for me. And likewise for the tzaddikim, someone who is on the path of righteousness, it's easy for the tzaddik to think that Olam Haba, or Gan Eden, I guess, is for the completely righteous, for Moshe Rabbeinu, for the Avos, for the Nevi'im. And to think, oh, there's no way I'm going to get in there, like it's not, I'm going to be stopped at the entrance. It's not for me, And what Mishlei is telling you, according to Mitzvot David, is no. Each place it has ample room, and you will find your place in there based on what you actually deserve. And this brings us to a principle that Rabbi Moskowitz often said in Mishlei, which is that the emotions do a horrible job of making distinctions between quantities. Emotions are very all or nothing, which is why we're into putting everything in terms of black and white, us versus them, labels, good, evil. And this is an illustration of that principle here. And I think what this is highlighting is the fact that when it comes to living the good or the bad life, or making good or bad decisions, or good and evil in general, it's not an all or nothing deal where you either are in the righteous camp or the wicked camp. That's just not how it works. In Torah, we hold that each and every good action is rewarded accordingly, and each and every bad action is punished accordingly. And there are fine quantitative distinctions that God is capable of making, even if your emotions are not. And that's really what it's saying here, is that if you get into this mentality of I'm not righteous, I can't get reward, in the afterlife, or I'm not evil, I can't get punishment in the afterlife, that's a fallacy. That's not how reality works. In reality, when you do good actions, the good actions have real consequences, which are quantitative. They are real phenomena, and so too with bad actions, is that there are quantitative consequences, and you will, whether in this world or in the next world or both, you will get what you deserve. And there's no sweeping, qualitative dismissals in that sense. So does this have anything to do with what Marcus Aurelius had in mind? Probably not. Most likely not. But again, the purpose of this podcast is not to write an authoritative commentary on Marcus Aurelius' meditations are on the Stoic writings. The point of this podcast is to meditate like Marcus Aurelius was doing on these concepts and just see where they take you. And since we are Jews, and that's my framework, then I'm gonna go wherever that takes me. And today took me to the pasuk about the leech in Mishlei. So that is that. And that is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. The link is in the description. Some people have asked me about doing one-time donations instead of subscribing. You are certainly welcome to do that. If you feel motivated to, contribute as a sort of a Hanukkah present, or I guess Hanukkah Rosh Chodesh present for today, then by all means feel free to do so. The way it'll work is that you'll sign up for Patreon and then give a contribution, and then after you pay that amount, then you can just cancel your subscription, and my Patreon will receive the initial amount, and then you won't be charged further than that. So that is an option. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you for bearing with me while I took my Hanukkah break. That was a much needed break. And thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.